Welcome to the National Bicycle Greenway's Mountain Mover podcast series. Here you will get up close and personal with people who are taking giant steps for the betterment of cyclists and for the planet itself.
We are going to take you behind the scenes to a new Mayor's Ride sponsor and a bicycle company that long has had fun as its mission statement. And who better can rebuild such a company after its founder's death than a top-flight businessman who also loves to make merry. Listen to the great time Bill Pomacoy is having as his all-new Rhodes car is celebrated on every continent on the planet. So, Bill, how are you doing today?
Hey, Martin. How's things on the other side of the world?
As in Ireland? It's amazing we have this technology, Bill. It really is, that I can do this from Ireland. I will be back soon, but for right now, I am we're in there right now. It's amazing that I'm able to kind of connect with Tennessee all the way from Ireland.
It's a beautiful day here in Tennessee today. We've had three straight days in the 80s, and I think spring is right here.
Wow. And then some. Okay, well, listen. I was at your website, and a lot of your website, because I'm just blown away at what's kind of seemed to evolve before my very eyes with the all-new Rhodes car. And then you guys are celebrating your 20th year this year. My God. Tell me about that.
Well, Rhodes car started from an idea that David Rhodes had about 30 years ago. Actually, the idea came to his head 30 years ago, and And he, acted upon his idea and played with the design. And about 20 years ago, he launched the Rhodes car business and ran a very successful business, you know, for the first 20 years. And I was fortunate enough to be in a position to acquire the company a year ago. And we're in the bike building business on the four wheel bike side.
Right. Well, you know, those are my bike listeners who not been able to really detect the Rhodes car name in any of their biking radar over really it sounds like the last 20 years. Can you tell people, I know a lot of other people know, but tell us exactly what is a Rhodes car?
Okay, I'd love to. A Rhodes car is a four-wheel, quad bike. We make one, two, and four-person four-wheel bikes. You know, some people call them quad bikes. Some people call them quikes. I had a person the other day on our Facebook page call it a roadster. I thought that was a pretty good play on words. But our specialty, Martin, is we're a four-wheel bicycle manufacturer. What we're really proud of is that we're one of the very few that are, bike manufacturers that still make their products in good old USA.
Quikes. I've never heard that before. Is that what you said? Know. Quikes?
Quike, yes.
That's classic. That is classic. I love it. Well, you know, also over the last 20 years, you've spent a lot of money on marketing and getting that brand out there. I think that's why it continues to be so successful. And I also know this because you've identified our site, bikeroute.com, as a heavily visited bike site. And over the years, you've sent us many tens of thousands of dollars for your logo presence here at bikeroute.com. And I guess maybe synergistically, I've helped you grow. Then the recession hit. Things got lean for everyone. David Rhodes, the company founder who I dealt with from pretty much the beginning of the internet, he became ill. And sadly, he succumbed to his illness, December 2009.
Right.
Then you stepped in. You bought a slowed down business from his wife and two children, who had nothing to do with the operation. And how'd you become involved? Tell us about that.
Well, you've got the sequence pretty much down there, Martin. I became involved, ironically, because I am a neighbor of David Rhodes. I bought a piece of property next to him about 8 years ago now, and I was always intrigued by his product line. You know, he would drive it around the property, and we would get the mailing postcards in the mailbox by mistake sometimes. And I would see his marketing, and he and I would have these conversations over the fence and sometimes on our front porches, about the product line and about his marketing philosophy. And you know, David was a genius. I mean, to come up with the design and then to be able to market his product like he did on the internet before it was popular, you know, he was incredible. And as you mentioned, back in December of 2009, David had heart disease and suffered with it for several years, and he died in December of 2009 without really a succession plan, and he had no family members involved in the business. So just paying my respects to the family the day that I heard that he had passed away, you know, I asked his son if they had plans for the business, and they did not. And I have a lot of or several entrepreneur friends who I thought might be interested in the business, you know. And so I asked his son to bring over all of the business records he could get his hands on over to my conference room, and let's take a look at this thing. And let's take a look at this thing. So once I did, I thought, Martin, the heck with my entrepreneur friends. I'm interested in this, you know. It was just such a unique business.
Uh-huh.
I had, although I wasn't involved in manufacturing in, you know, the last 10 years, I do have experience in manufacturing and marketing and sales, so I felt pretty much equipped, you know, to do the job that I needed to do. And I stepped aside from another family business I was involved with my spouse, and I hired David's key people, including his master builder for the last 11 years, Chris Spann, who is now a partner in the Rhodes Car business and his office manager, and we hired several other people, and here I am a year later and still learning as I go.
I mean, not only learning, it's just like it just amazes me. As we were talking before we got into this interview, it seems like it's taken over you, and it's kind of—I mean, it's wonderful to see.
Well, you know, in a down economy, as everybody knows, I mean, you have to work—you know—twice as hard as you did several years ago. You know, plus, you know, entering a new industry like I did, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have some great people working with me here, and they've taught me an awful lot. But there's just a whole lot more to learn, so. Yeah, I burn the candle at both ends quite a bit.
I mean, you've made a ton of changes already. You've got a brand new website. You've upgraded your products and your product line. You just really, as we've been talking, you just big time in a major, huge way rolled your sleeves up.
Yep.
With all that in mind, tell us about what's evolved from all that. Tell us about the new Rhodes car.
Thanks. Thanks, Martin, for the opportunity. There's so much to tell. You know, it's hard to know where to start, really. But, you know, we're a different company than we were a year ago. You know, we're much more, I guess I'll say, extroverted than, you know, this company was in the past. And by that, I mean, you know, Rhodes Car depended solely on internet sales prior to me coming in, you know, to the company. And, you know, I recognize the need for us to be more extroverted. By that, I mean going out and doing trade shows and, you know, and getting our message out to people, to the demographic that we're trying to reach out to. And so we've been very active in doing healthy living shows and green shows and industrial product shows and getting the message out about our product line. So, you know, we love to talk about our product line. And, you know, when I bought the company, I said to everybody here, you know, this is a fun product. We are going to have fun here, you know. I've been involved in, you know, three different businesses over my 30-year career, and, mm-hmm. you know, none of them were very fun, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when we do a trade show, Martin, we are just, like, we're the favorite booth of the trade show because we're making a fun product and people really enjoy it. So we're having a ball, you know, building this thing as we go.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah,
how many different models are you making now?
Well, we have our residential line, and now we have, you know, three models within that, and then we have our industrial line. So I guess we have about 10 residential models, and I think it's 8 industrial models. So I guess about 18 altogether.
Jesus. What kinds of, before I ask into that, are all your bikes, are they all the recumbent configuration?
No, we have our cycle car series and our sport ped series. Those are recumbents. And then we have our Go Boy series and a spinoff of the Go Boy series, which is our industrial bike series. They're more of a sit-up straight, you know, bicycle style.
Hmm. So that's kind of along the lines of the industrial bike. I remember when David was first evolving that product line, the Go Boy. He had hot dog trucks or something like that. Somebody had a hot dog business it's like a sit up bike that is like a bike truck. Okay.
And you know, those are some of the things that they were great ideas, and he sold some, but they weren't a big success. And when I look at and assess the business, I looked at the models that we had. I recognized what I at least thought were our strengths and our weaknesses, and we dropped things like, we still make the bike for the hot dog cart, and we still make the bike for the ice cream cart, but we're not in the ice cream business or hot dog business.
Right,
so,
right.
We leave it up to, the purchaser to conform that bike to whatever his or her need is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things that we recognize, we weren't going to be experts at, but let's make the bike for that purpose, And then, we also recognized... you asked me what's different about it. We recognize that, historically, Rhodes cars were really, geared to the retirement community, Mark.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And, the quintessential Rhodes car is that cycle car, one or two person, for that retirement community. And, but yet with all of the, the pedal power and the whole Go Green movement, we're just a perfect product line for not only that community, but most importantly, I think the eco-friendly 30 and 40 somethings, and as well as the baby boom generation. There's 78 million of us, looking for places to go and how to get there, and there's so many opportunities. So we've really we recognize that we're always popular in the retirement communities, but we also recognize there's a huge number of people out there that need our products.
So
we had a customer order a bike about a year ago, and it's a neat story. She called from Greensburg, Kansas, and that's the town that was just decimated by that tornado about almost 3 years ago now. And the story as it goes is, I believe my statistic is correct, the town is a mile wide and the tornado is 1.2 miles wide. So it just leveled the town, and they built it back totally green over the next 2 years, and this family bought one of our four-person cycle cars with a canopy, and they called a few months later, and they said they sold the family car. They're now riding the roads all over Greensburg.
Wow.
So it's kind of neat stories like that that
wow.
Make you want to do what we do.
Yes. Wow. So, in order for like a family like that to be able to do all the kinds of things that a car could or would do, what kinds of options do you make available for your machines?
Yeah, we have, our concept is, we have a base grade vehicle, and it comes with, one speed and the, certain seats and, certain base options. And it's kind of like buying a new car. You just add whatever options that you think you may want on it. We have a neat new interactive website where you can build your own Rhodes car right on the site, and you can add those available options, to the bike as you're building it, and you can see how much it would cost it with those options on it. But, you can upgrade the seats and the gearing, and you can add canopies and windshields and dual brakes, and, we even have a really neat electric assist motor that you can add to any of our bikes.
Huh.
There's a lot of good stuff that you can add.
Awesome. You've got a bike with a windscreen, and a lot of other new bikes you've created. What else is in the works? What else is coming down the line?
Yeah, that the one you mentioned with the windshield is actually my favorite product line favorite model. It's actually my favorite model. It's called a sport pad, and it's got that really sleek looking, windshield. It kind of looks like a golf cart, but it's and it really is geared to the baby boomers who are, looking for another means of transportation. So, it's UV protected. So a lot of us are concerned about, UV protection. So that's the sport pad, and then we came up with this really neat bike, Martin. It's it's a shame when there's so much conversation in our country about obesity,
mm-hmm.
and we don't give people the right equipment to be able to exercise. You know, a 350-pound person can't get on a two-wheel bike and get exercise. It's just unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's what a lot of the bike programs in our cities are promoting. And,
right.
You know, so we knew we had the perfect solution, which was, you know, a four-wheel bike that a large person or someone who isn't stable on their feet, you know, can ride. And so we came out with one. We call it the Comfort Ride. It has a 22-inch wide padded seat that'll handle 350-plus pounds. It's, of course, a four-wheel bike, and we can put either one or seven speeds on it, and it gives people that were never able to ride a bike before the ability to ride a bike. So we're really excited about that one. And then kind of taking that concept, we have this really neat concept, which is taking that bike and making a cross trainer out of it. So picture yourself now, Martin, driving down the street, you know, on your four-wheel Comfort Ride, but we have a different handlebar setup. We just built the prototype for it, and you'll actually get a upper body workout while using this cross-trainer bike. You know, statistics
what?
Are so yeah, the statistics
your...
are that
yeah.
yeah, you're getting the upper body workout. So we've developed a handlebar system where you can actually move up and down just like you would, you know, any kind of, you know, gym piece of equipment, and where you can get this upper body movement, because statistics show that, you know, a good bike ride will get you, will burn about 500 calories per
mm-hmm.
hour.
Right.
But if you add that upper body movement to
right.
it, you'll get close to 1,500, you know,
wow.
calories burned.
Wow, yeah.
So
that's kind of like what Gardner Martin was trying to create over at Easy Racers. He thought that he could break all the land speed records that existed if he could integrate arm pedaling with leg pedaling. And so your arms, do they actually pedal the chain mechanism as well?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
The arms are just, you're just getting your upper body movement. You could set the tension to,
I
you
see.
Know, wherever you want it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a piece of gym equipment in a sense.
Yeah. Only you can take it out on the road and get a true workout.
Wow.
It's really cool.
Wow.
I'll shoot you a photo of it.
Wow.
You can take a look at it. It's really neat. Hopefully someday it'll be in some major sporting good retailer.
Awesome. Okay, now in terms of road performance, mm-hmm. how would you say your machines size up? How well do they turn? How well do they stop? How fast can you go on one?
Okay. Well, performance-wise, you know, we'll never match up to the real performance bikes. That's not our game. It's not our business. And quite frankly, I don't think we'll ever compete in that space, you know. We need to stick with what we know, especially in this economy, you know. But, you know, a lot of our bike owners, road car owners, used to be, you know, performance bike operators, you know. And now they've either slowed down a little bit or, you know, they just want something a little more comfortable or they want to ride with their spouse. So that's more of our game. We're not in that performance bike business.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to answer your question on the turning, you know, we're a four-wheel bike, and the turn ratio is much wider than a two-wheel bike, but it doesn't take a whole lot of time to get used to it. You know,
okay.
It's a couple of miles on your favorite greenway, and you'll get it down, you know.
One of the reasons that David always was behind what I was doing was because you mentioned the word greenway right there. He thought his machine would be perfect on a coast-to-coast greenway, as it were. I mean, in its actual built-out form, not that that's how we foresee the greenway in the immediate. We see the greenway as National Bicycle Greenway as a network of interconnected bicycle roads, bikeable roads, and pathways. However, in a perfect world vision of it, he saw the greenway as being a place that was like 12 to 18 feet wide of pavement on which you could place a roads car. Do they need a lot of room to be able to ride on?
Yeah, I think on the greenway, and the one I ride on our greenways here in Nashville is a two-person go-boy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 38 inches, you know, side to side, whereas the, you know, the cycle car series is about 53 inches. So you know, the cycle car series is not a great fit on a 9-foot greenway. It can be if you know, you're talking 18-foot greenways, you know, absolutely, it's a perfect fit
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make sure that, you know, I can take a bike through the little, you know, cement pillars that they have in the center of the greenway as you're entering, you know, certain areas. And the Go Boy series absolutely can fit on any greenway.
Now, is the Go Boy,
you know, the narrowest being 9 feet.
Is the Go Boy a one person?
Well, we have been one and two person.
Okay, and that's side by side. And,
right.
Have you ever, I can't remember, I think my Blue Sky trailer is probably 31 inches or so. I mean, I can get it through a doorway. Have you ever measured a trailer, like a standard two-wheel trailer, and gotten a width on that and compared it with your Go Boy?
No, we're actually in the process of designing a trailer that that will fit our, you know, our one- and two-person bikes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think what I'm trying to ask is bikes that pull trailers, already... it would seem that that's about as wide as you're going to get on a bike path, and what's really safe on a city street. And I'm okay with a fairly wide trailer. I mean, I've even had oversized loads as much as probably bicycles or tables like that laying on top of the trailer, getting me up as maybe as high as 38, 40 inches.
The Go Boy is only 38. It's actually 38 and a half inches wide, so it's a little narrower than your trailer.
So you sit pretty, two good-sized guys would sit pretty close to each other, huh?
You'd be snuggled up a little bit.
Okay.
But you asked, I know you asked how fast they go, and, you know the common answer we say when people call in here, we'll say, well, how fast can you pedal, you know? But seriously, you know, speed depends on the variables.
Right. Exactly.
You know, generally our two-person bike with, you know, if we have 42 speeds on it, we'll get you top speed of around 20 miles an hour or so. But it all depends on the people pedaling, you know?
Yeah.
And then we have our electric assist that's geared to go about 13 miles an hour, so it stays under the bicycle laws.
Wow. You know, it's funny, you were talking about the size of the engine, you know, who's pedaling. We talk about that a lot with the bicycle, the 15 people, and we get the right 15, 14 people on, that thing can just fly. We've never had a team of athletes push that thing to what it can do. However, I got some fairly decent cyclists together, and we were up to about a whopping, I think, 12 miles an hour.
Okay.
But I'm sure that if we had some decent, really strong, trained racing cyclists on, and we could have maybe hit 15, 16, 17 miles an hour. You know, we've never really had that luxury, and I'm sure that's your bike's never experienced that either. You know,
You know, when I'd say that's top speed at 20 miles an hour. You know, that's not the average. The average is anywhere from, you know, 8-12 miles an hour typically, depending on the terrain. You know,
right. Well, you talked about gears, 42 of them or something like that. How many gears do you offer?
We have a basic one-speed, and those are really for most of our factory vehicles, you know, on totally flat concrete surface where you don't need, you know, gears. And then we offer a 7-speed and a 42-speed. Our best seller is a 7-speed.
Uh-huh.
We have the 42 for people that live in hill country, you know.
Okay. Which I think most people do. It's hard to find a flat anywhere based on my rides across the nation.
Yeah.
But that's all upgradable, is it not?
It is. Yep.
Good.
Certainly
awesome.
Is. And our bikes, you know, we use many of the same parts that, you know, just a regular bike shop will carry.
So,
you know, it's pretty easy to get them serviced, too.
And for them to do an upgrade and things like that as well? Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when someone, you've talked about people coming to your factory and buying a bike, and David used to have this experience a lot also, of people coming and riding off on a Rhodes car.
That's right.
Can people go, can a couple of guys come out and buy one and go cross country on one?
They certainly have, Martin.
They have, but do they survive?
Yeah.
Do they make it to the end point? Do you hear
yeah,
from him?
We had a couple of the stories that that have been around Rhodes Car for a while. This is in the David days. He had a person fly in from New Jersey and another person fly in from Florida to pick up the Rhodes Car and ride it home, you know, and that's out of our Tennessee location. And we sold a bike 2 days ago to a woman in Portland, Oregon that is going to go cross country. And she's starting in Portland and going to Sacramento, and then she's going to turn and head east. And her hope is that she'll make it across the country.
All by herself?
No, it's a two-person. She bought the two-person sport ped with the windshield. With 42 speeds and the electric motor assist.
Okay.
And she's going to start in late April. So I'll have it on her Facebook page, but I'll send you the information on her too.
Wow. So what are they like on hills?
Well, you know, the 42 speeds helps a lot. But I always tell people, you know, when they buy our bikes, you know, not to attempt to climb Pikes Peak right away, you know. you know, and like any sport, it takes practice before you're ready for the big hills. And truthfully, they're heavier than a two-wheel bike, and the laws of physics have to be applied, you know. It won't be quite as easy climbing a steep hill as it is on a two-wheel bike, but that's why I said that we're really not competing in that performance space, but we can load a bike up that allows a person to go cross country or to climb a steep hill if that's what they want to be doing.
You know, this is just the more I hear about your Rhodes Car, the more I want one. It's funny how, like, man does not live by one bike alone. He really doesn't.
Right.
You know, and, you know, this is just nuts. When you say that the hills can you gear them low enough to get up pretty much anything, though?
Yes, you really can. When you put the 42 speeds on there, yeah, we have some really low gears.
Really?
So, absolutely.
Okay. And in the end, at the end of the proverbial day, if you will, what is a typical Rhodes Car weigh from lightest to heaviest?
Okay, lightest to heaviest, anywhere between 75 and 130 pounds.
Okay.
A little heavier than some of your performance bikes, right?
Well, you know, I'm sitting here laughing, and the Eagle, the high wheel that I'll be riding across the nation,
yeah,
71 pounds.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, not real far yeah. away. And then when I rode to Salt Lake City in 2009 from San Francisco, I was adding another, 35 pounds to that I put on the bike, which was kind of, in hindsight, and not even in hindsight, I wish I would have known beforehand, was a stupid thing to do. I ended up pedaling about a 100-pound high wheel across what really amounted to some pretty challenging terrain, which included the Sierras, which included the Salt Lake Basin and all this kind of stuff. And,
amazing.
And then I take a bike like yours, 75 pounds, two people, four wheels, and gears. Oh my God!
Yeah,
it just sounds like in comparison, sounds like a walk in the park. I don't want to try to give myself, like, I'm patting myself on the back, but, you know, I don't see where yours are so horribly heavy in real relation to kind of the bigger picture of things.
Right.
Do you have any of these things at theme parks?
Well, that's one of our initiatives for this year and for 2011 and 2012. We're actually working with one of the major theme parks right now to bulletproof a couple of our models. And by bulletproof, I mean, you know, in the rental car business, you know, the people don't take care of rental cars, and it's the same with the rental bike business. So we really have to bulletproof a couple of these models so they'll be perfect for, you know, the rental community. Do you remember, were you a Seinfeld fan at all?
Not really. However, I can't tell you how many people said I look like Seinfeld. I don't know where that is. So, but I never watched it because I don't watch TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I just love it. Every time I'm flipping, if I do my cable madness at night and I'm flipping around and Seinfeld is on, I'm there, man. I'm just there, you know. But there was this episode that, he went in to rent a car, and he made a reservation for the car, and they didn't have it when he got there to pick it up, and you know, he had to come back the next day, and he was pretty angry about it, you know, and they asked him if he wanted the insurance, you know. Then his response was like, oh, yes, I do, because I'm going to beat the hell out of that car. You know? So we have to, you know, take that same philosophy and apply it to, you know, the rental bikes that we're about to launch. So, to answer your question, yeah, by a year from now, you'll start to see us in the theme parks.
Got it. So you don't have any at present, just yet.
Well, we do have some in Disney in California, but they're in the Pixar parade, you know, where they've taken the bikes and configured them for, you know, certain events that they run, but not in the rental business.
Mm, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. How about industrial users? Do you have anybody that uses a Rose car for that application?
Yeah, our industrial line actually was developed about 10 years ago. It was never really proactively marketed, though. And it's an awesome line, you know, and especially now with all the factories going green and, you know, with sustainability divisions and, you know, we've got the perfect four-wheel solution. So, yeah, we just hired 8 manufacturers reps with exclusive territories, and those are reps that are calling on large industrial facilities. And, we've landed, you know, some sales, and that whole sales cycle, though, Martin, is about a 6 to 18 month cycle. And before you're really effective, because you have to, it's a different vehicle, you have to present it several times and get the interest level going. So that's something that I think will be huge for us in a couple of years.
Wow, so you've got a whole sales force now working that.
Yeah, we have a commission-based manufacturer's repping the line. So yeah, we're something we're real excited about.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about worldwide? Are they sold beyond just the States?
Yeah, we ship all over the world, actually. Most of our sales are in the United States and Canada. But over the last 20 years, they've actually shipped a bike to every continent. Which is, I think, amazing.
God.
But you know, 90% of our sales are in the U.S. and Canada.
Wow. And in the United States, once someone gets one to their neighborhood, are they going to have any problems with the police? Are they street legal?
They are street legal. They follow the same bicycle laws as any two-wheel bike.
I'm not talking about the Go-Boy. I'm talking about the four-wheel jobs that are wide.
Yep. It's still considered a bicycle.
Yeah.
And we have many people that don't trust us on that answer, and they'll call their local police department, you know, and to my knowledge, we've never had an issue. We do follow the bicycle laws.
Wow.
Now, being realistic, Martin, I mean, if you have a narrow sidewalk and a 53-inch, you know, sport ped, it's not the perfect place for it, you know.
I'm not talking sidewalk. I'm talking about, can you put them on the street?
Sure can. Anywhere you can ride a two-wheel bike, you know, you can technically take a Rhodes car.
Huh.
Again, you have to have the right situation. I don't want people, you know, on the highway with these things, ideally, you know. But technically, they follow the bicycle laws.
Okay. That's fascinating. Okay, so can, like, for example, if someone wants to get on a four-seater, one of the four-position jobbers, can one person ride one and pick up his friends? Or does it, you all have to get together at one point and start riding?
Well, one person can propel our four-wheel bike. Let's say they're going to pick up their neighbor, you know, a quarter mile or half mile down the road. You know, they can propel a four-person bike. But once you add all the body weight of two or three more people, then, you know, you need some help. And the way our four-wheel or our four-passenger bikes are constructed, the two people in the front pedal and the two people in the rear are just riding along for the ride.
Oh, okay. You've got what really amounts to two power positions.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So unlike on the two-seater, are both people powering?
Yes, both people power.
Okay.
They can be in, obviously, different gears because our gears are, you know, each person has their own gears.
How about, have you ever thought about having building a four-seater where all four people can pedal? The backseat
passengers as well? Yeah, we have thought about that, Martin, and we're looking into that.
Hmm. Wow, that's awesome. Getting these bikes all over the world, I can't believe you shipped all, what, 7 continents?
Right, even Antarctica.
Really?
Of course, it was only one bike, but hey, it allows us to make the statement, right?
God, I can't believe that. What did the shipping on that alone cost?
Oh, that was before my time. I can't imagine, but it would probably be a couple $1,000s, you know?
Man. But, and do you have to make a special box to get them shipped?
Well, all of our bikes are crated before they go out of here. Everything, every bike is made, you know, we custom make the bike to the customer specs, and then we actually build a wooden pallet around, you know, the base of the bike, strap it down tightly to that, and then we encase it in a heavy-duty cardboard on the sides and on the top, and that, you know, it's all supported by, you know, wood strips around the corners. And then they go out on, we use Old Dominion Freight Company. It's our number one freight company. And we ship them in the crates to the customer's house, completely assembled. And all they have to do is uncrate it and ride it away. It's been road tested here at the factory.
So you can take a bike like that and put it on a forklift then?
Uh-huh. A box, yep, like, sure can.
Wow.
Sure can. That's how we load up the Old Dominion trucks.
Oh, my God. With forklifts. A bike on
right.
a forklift.
Right.
Jesus. Oh, wow. That's just so bizarre. What does it cost to ship, for example, to the West Coast, California, end up becoming? Do you have a feel for that?
Yeah, we've been able to bring down the cost of shipping. That was one of my biggest concerns when I got involved in the company. You know, our shipping costs were really high. You know, I mean, dramatically high.
They've been climbing because of the cost of gas, man. It's just most
But by working with, you know, one company in particular, like we do, and that company does cover the entire country.
Uh-huh.
They don't dish it off to another trucking company. They handle it from the time it leaves our dock to the time it gets to the customer.
Uh-huh.
And we've been able to get a favorable rate class and bring the cost of shipping down dramatically.
Really?
And as a matter of fact, on our website, when you know, build your own car, it factors in the shipping. And so one or two person bike shipped anywhere in the country is $299.
What?
And our four person bike is $399.
You're kidding me.
Uh-uh. That's we've been able to bring that down.
Anywhere in the U.S.
Yeah. Now, you know, obviously, from a business standpoint, we do some cost averaging in there. It costs us more to ship it up to Seattle than it does to Florida.
Right.
And so it'll cost us more than $299 to ship it to Seattle, but it costs us probably a little bit less to ship it to Florida.
Right.
But we want to be fair to everybody and do some cost averaging. And I want to get that shipping objection out of people's minds. So we've been able to dramatically reduce that, and it's not as much of a consideration anymore.
So you're telling people, or what? So what's my bill going to be? If I'm in California, in San Francisco, I order a Rhodes car, I'm going to pay $399 for a four-seater.
You're going to pay us $129 to crate it,
yeah,
and $299 to ship it. If it's a four-seater, you're going to pay $399 to ship it.
Okay, so $399, and then I also pay for you to crate it.
Right.
So $399 plus the $129.
Right.
So,
but what I can tell you is that I've been here now 13 months,
uh-huh,
and we have had not one shipping complaint. We have had not one bike damaged in shipment. I mean, it's just been a great situation. So the crating works, and the whole new shipping procedure, and we really got it down now.
Wow. Do these, have you had any stories about the boxes, the special boxes you have to make, becoming like kids' play houses? Or it almost sounds like that could become the case, because you wouldn't want to get rid of one, I wouldn't think.
I know, that's a great idea. Maybe I'll put that on our Facebook page, Martin. Another great idea by Martin.
Well, it just seemed really, I think that I remember back in Santa Cruz when Ken, for his business, bought one of David's Rhodes cars. He still hung on to his crate because, you know, for his own shipping purposes, moving the bike around from city to city or whatnot, you know.
Right.
So, Bill, how does payment work?
Well, we custom build every bike that we make, and according to the specs of the customer. So you know, once they place an order, we either charge their credit card or cash their check and put them into the production schedule. Some prefer to send us a check. Others like to get the points and on their credit card. So to each his own.
Hmm.
Kind of a funny story, though. The first week I was here, back in February of 2010, we had a call from a fella in Montana, and he bought a $3,700 bike. He wanted to anyway, and he wanted to know if we would take gold in payment.
So
he deals only with people that will take gold in, you know, in payment for whatever he buys, and we said sure.
So
it was a $3,700 bike, and he sent us 3 ounces of pure gold, and the rest was silver in payment. And we put it in the Rhodes car safe, and it turned into a pretty good investment over the last 13 months.
How did he send something like that?
I know. He just FedExed it.
But how do you send something like, how do you insure it? How do you... My God, this is nuts.
Yeah, well, you can insure it. I mean, you can just tell them, you know, the value of that is $4,000, and if it doesn't get to you, you know, the insurance company pays it off.
Wow.
But it was, yeah, it was something.
That is amazing.
We've had a lot of laughs about that around here, but
jeez,
it's just a great way to do business.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, tell me something. I was at your, just before I was to this interview, I was at your site. I was noticing you've got a new video there. Tell me, it seemed like it was something about how to build a Rhodes car. Talk to me about that.
Okay. Well, over the years, and I've heard this, and I've listened to people ask in the last little over a year that I've been here. People have asked, you know, I'd love to know how you make these things, you know? So, you know, with the video capabilities and technology capabilities today, as you very well know, we've been able to put together a video called The Making of a Rhodes Car, and it's on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows from the time this, actually we followed a bike purchased by a guy in upstate New York, and we followed that bike through the manufacturing process.
Mm-hmm.
So we took it from the order, you know, department to the, you know, to them cutting the steel, because we still use good old steel that's made in the USA.
Mm-hmm.
And make our frames with that, and you'll see it being welded together and jig welded together, and then you see it go through the powder coating process, and then you see the parts being applied to the bike, and you see it being crated and loaded onto the truck. So it's a really neat video, Martin, and it answers a lot of the questions that people have about, you know, how we'd make a Rhodes car.
Wow.
Huh. Yeah, it's really neat.
Talk to me about the Rhodes car experience. Did you foresee?
Oh, you have been looking at the website. Well, our objective here is, I said earlier that, you know, we have a fun product, and I want to make it an experience when people buy a Rhodes car. So I want the whole experience to be really dramatic, and, you know, we really are turning our 8.5-acre, you know, compound here, where our factory is located, into a Rhodes car experience. And, you know, the idea, I guess, came a little over 20 years ago. Do you remember when Saturn was launched?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, Tennessee landed this first Saturn and only Saturn plant, and they were different than everybody else. And they created this, you know, this aura and this experience about buying a Saturn car. You know, they lost their momentum, unfortunately, and they're not in business anymore. But we want to do the same thing. A lot of people visit us here at the factory, and they demo our bikes. So we want to make that an experience. So we're out in the country, and we're on 8.5 acres, and we've got a three-story, 4,500-square-foot lodge and a two-acre stock lake right here on the property with the factory. So, you know, we just want people to come and experience the whole Rhodes car thing, Martin. And, you know, if they're coming in a long distance and, you know, want to pick up their bikes, so they can stay at the lodge here and fish in the pond and really enjoy, you know, Southern hospitality.
And you were saying all around the lake you've got a path that is, what, 9 or 10 feet wide?
Yeah, it's kind of like a nature walk, you know, around the lake. It's a half-mile track. you know, dirt road around the lake, dirt gravel road, and it's just one of the most beautiful pieces of property you'll ever see.
Wow.
Just breathtaking.
And you live there?
Yeah, I just happen to live in the log home.
All right. How exciting. How exciting. Well, this has been really, really fun. Have I missed anything, or is there anything you'd like to add, Bill?
Well, Martin, you've been so thorough. I can't imagine that we missed anything, you know. But I just, you know, just going back to what we originally talked about, you know, Rhodes Car is a unique, and I'm calling it a bicycle company, even though people criticize it. They'll say, well, a bicycle is just that, you know. We're a four-wheel bicycle manufacturer, and we offer an alternative mode of transportation, you know, on a frame that is as stable as you can get, you know, and really people of all ages love to ride a Rhodes, and, you know, you can do that. You can enjoy, you know, time with your spouse or significant other, and we call them pedal mates, you know, here at Rhodes Car, you know.
Fellow quikes.
Yep. So we'll never be in the performance bike category, you know, but we do have a niche, and it's in the four-wheel quad bike category, and we're real proud of the reputation that we've built over those years. So
how exciting.
Yeah.
How exciting. The all-new Rhodes Car. It really is. My God. This is really neat stuff. I'm so excited to get the chance to talk to you, Bill. Nor can I wait to actually get this out for my listeners to really get a feel and understanding for what's become of David's dream. This is awesome stuff. My God. Wow. Well,
it's a continuation of his dream, Mark. And I'm just real proud to be, you know, here and promoting the whole concept. And listen, I want to thank you, you know, for getting the message out to your listeners, and wish you the best of luck with your 2011 ride.
Thanks, Bill. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really mean that. Well, listen, I guess probably what that's just saying is, in sum, it's been an absolutely wonderful opportunity to get to know an incredible man, an incredible business, and just some neat stuff. So that said, I'll just have to say until we talk again. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Martin. We appreciate you.
All right, man. Thank you.
Take care.
Talk to you soon. See you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenways Mountain Movers podcast series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG Director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. To access this podcast in the future and to hear other shakers and movers that we've interviewed, go to bikeroute.com.